Welcome to Not Work, Myth and Storytelling. This is the show where ancestral wisdom meets the modern imagination. I'm your host and lead storyteller, Marisa Gowdy. I'm a myth worker, a story healer, and a writing coach. I'm the author of The Sovereignty Knot, A Woman's Way to Freedom, Power, Love, and Magic, and the founder of the Writer's Knot and Author's Knot communities. On Knot Work, we explore the mythology and folklore of Ireland and beyond. Whether you're drawn to Celtic culture and the power of the landscape, or whether you just like a good story and expansive conversation, you're in the right place. Fáilte. If you love what you hear and want to support the show, I'd be so grateful if you'd become a paid subscriber to my Myth is Medicine newsletter over on Substack. Look for the link at the top of the show notes or visit mythismedicine.substack.com. Season 6, Episode 42, Conspiring with Bridget, with Kate Chadbourne, a best of the podcast re-release. We find ourselves in Bridget season. Last week, you heard the Myth Workers and Culture Makers conversation with Natalie O'Shea when we talked about spinning the Bridget's cross. This week, I bring you a treasure from the Knot Work archives. This was the very first episode of the show. It was released back in January of 2022. And I'm so excited to introduce you to Kate Chadbourne, if you've not met her already. She's an absolute gem of a teacher and a writer. And here's something you won't hear in the episode intro, because it's brand new. Kate has just released a novel called The Poet on the Train, and I can tell you that it is as delightful as a plate of warm cookies straight from the oven. I won't spoil this sweet morsel of a book, but I will say that it's full of surprises, and it's remarkably timely and speaks right to the heart of the greatest concerns of the day. It's one more reminder that it's always the right time to give time to poetry. Before we dive into this week's episode, I want to be sure that you know how I'll be celebrating Bridget season with the Celtic Junction Art Center. They've invited me to teach a three-part course on Bridget that we're calling Bridget and Expressions of the Divine Feminine. This three-part online series begins on January 28th. We're going to be exploring Bridget as both goddess and saint, and how she's been an essential part of Ireland's faith and culture for millennia. During this course, we'll be exploring the mythology, geography, and folklore of Bridget. And I will certainly be telling some stories along the way as we blend in the historical, the spiritual, and the ecological themes that are so core to Bridget, as she was known by the ancestors and how she's known today. You'll find a link to join the class in the show notes or visit CelticJunction.org and look for the classes tab. I would love to see you there. And now, I'm so glad to bring you this story and conversation with Kate Chadbourne. My guest, Kate Chadbourne, is a singer, harper, and storyteller. She's an award-winning songwriter and poet, a scholar and teacher of Irish language and folklore, with a PhD from Harvard. And she's a beloved performer at venues throughout New England. Kate has been featured in the Gaelic Roots concert series at Boston College, and her music has been featured on National Public Radio. She has released 6 solo CDs, 3 collections of poetry, and 2 books to encourage and support artists, musicians, and creators. Her latest CD, A Celtic Blessing Year, takes listeners on a mythic journey through the 8 feasts of the traditional Irish year. You'll hear a bit of that at the end of the show. Kate is also the founder of the Bardic Academy, a school for writers, musicians, singers, and young scholars. She brings to her audiences the sounds of the harp, piano, tin whistle, Irish flute, and melodeon, as well as a deep knowledge and love of traditional Irish story and what is often described as the voice of an angel. I have been lucky enough to know Kate since 1997, when she was my first Irish professor at Boston College. More recently, Kate was my editor. She played a vital role in the final version of my 2020 book, The Sovereignty Knot. I am so excited to welcome Kate Chadbourne here with us today to tell a story very specifically for Imbolc, to tell us a story of Bridget, or a story or two, perhaps. We will trust the storyteller and where she leads us. So, Kate, without further ado, please weave a world for us. I'm so excited to hear what comes through.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for your warm falcha. You're welcome. And hello to all of your listeners. How exciting. It's a great pleasure to be here to speak with you about Bridget and to tell you a couple of stories. Bridget has been a great friend to me for a long time. And I think when anyone meets her through her stories, she becomes a friend to them too. So Bridget really is the friend, the ultimate friend, really, among all of the saints and goddesses of early Ireland. A lot of people might be surprised to know that Mary and Bridget and Jesus all lived in Ireland. Of course they did. And back in the day when Jesus was born, of course, on Christmas, Mary and Bridget were BFFs. And the time came for Mary to go back to church. And, you know, that's the way women are churched. And she was really mortified. She didn't want to go. And, you know, it was going to be on the 1st of February. And she said to Bridget, I just don't want to go. Everybody's going to be looking at me at church and they're all going to be staring. And I just hate all of that. And Bridget, because she was such a great friend, she said, don't worry, Mary, leave it to me. And because it was beginning of February, it's the beginning of planting season in Ireland, right? Because the seasons are a bit different than they are here in North America. And it's a bit earlier. And so she went out into the nearest field and she saw there was a harrow, which is an agricultural implement like a rake. And she took the tines out of the harrow and she stuck it on her head. And she put candles where the tines had been and lit them. And she walked into the church and she said, hello, everybody. Would you look at me? And of course, everybody looked at Bridget with the crazy hat of fire on, which is perfect because Bridget's all about the fire. And nobody paid any attention to Mary, who just slid into the back pew unnoticed and very pleased. And so when Mass was over, they went outside and Bridget took off her flaming headdress and they stood around chatting as they do because they're great friends. And Mary said, you know, Bridget, you really are a wonderful friend and I'm lucky to have you. And I want to give you a reward for all of this help that you've always given me. You know, my feast day is on Candlemas, is on the 2nd of February. And as a reward, I want your feast day to be on the 1st day of February. And so that's why we celebrate St. Bridget's Day or Bridget's Festival Day on the 1st day of February and Mary's on the 2nd. So that lets us know about Mary and Bridget as great friends, and Bridget just as a solver of problems. She is the one who comes to the rescue, who figures out what to do. And I want to tell you a little story about that. So Fado Fado in Éirinn, long, long ago in Ireland, that's the way a lot of stories are started. Once long ago in Ireland, there was a woodcutter and his family. And the woodcutter was out in the woods chopping wood, and he saw a little fox coming very close to his hen house. And what did he do? But he threw the axe, and I'm sorry to tell you, he caught the little fox and killed it. Well, not long after that, Bridget was out in her chariot. Now, Bridget was an amazing early Irish saint, goddess, power, mama, figure, and out she is in her chariot, riding along, I love to say, like Xena warrior princess. There she is, yaw, yaw, as it's clattering along across the land, and she's just looking for things to do as she does, and she sees at the edge of the woods a group of people, and they're all crying, oh. So of course she veers over to where that group of people is. And she says, what's the matter? What seems to be the problem? It's our father, says one of the daughters. He killed a fox. And it turns out that fox belonged to the king. And the king is now threatening to kill him. And we don't know what to do. And Bridget said, don't worry. I'll handle this. Because that's the way Bridget was. Well, she said, don't worry, I'll get your father out. I'll handle this. So out she went back into her chariot, yaw, yaw. And as she went, she made a whistle. And she looked to the left and she looked to the right. a second whistle, and you know this is an Irish story, so everybody, you know what's going to happen, a third one. And on that third whistle, what did she see at the edge of the field? But two little black ears and two little black eyes shining like stars, and behind it, the most beautiful red little foxy body. And she said, come. And coming galloping across the field comes the little foxy and jumps up into the chariot. And Bridget wraps the little foxy in her cloak, which if you have not had a fox wrapped in your cloak, it's the first thing you'll want to do after listening to this podcast. The most wonderful feeling of the fox in the cloak. And she says, little foxy, I have a job for you. And so off she goes. Yaw, yaw, driving the chariot until she comes to the castle. And in the old days, you could drive the chariot right into the castle. She drives it in. But when she gets inside, she hops down because she hears hollering. I'm gonna kill this woodcutter. It's the king. And the king is angry. He killed my foxy loxy, and I will kill this woodcutter. I'm so angry. I love that fox more than my own children. Well, Bridget, carrying the fox, came right into the royal chamber. And she said, your majesty, I've brought you something. And she opens her cloak, and out comes the little beautiful little fox. And the king says, that's just an ordinary fox. Who cares about that fox? My foxy loxy was a genius, was a lover. I love that fox. But she said, no, 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 just a minute, your majesty. And she claps her hand and she says, foxy, how many is one plus one? And the little fox foot on the floor does this. Two. And the king says, well, that is very good, but I knew the answer to that. She said, all right, Foxy. Foxy, how many is 3 plus 4? And the little fox with her eyes shining. Oh, was that correct, mathematician? Yes, Your Honor, that was correct. The correct sum was 7. Well, that is very good, but it's still not as good as my Foxy Loxy. Well, she said, wait a minute. She clapped her hands and the little fox rose up on her back legs and danced around in a circle on her back legs. Well, she is a cunning little vixen, but still not my foxy loxy. She said, wait a minute, Your Honor, one more. And she clapped her hands and the fox leapt up into the king's lap and began to lick his beard. Oh, he said, oh, my goodness. Oh, okay, all right, all right. I love you, Foxy. Okay, take the woodcutter. Take him. I don't even care. I don't even mind. I just need this. Oh, this little fox. Oh, well, he loved that little fox. And while Bridget knew the getting was good, out she went. She took the woodcutter and they went away. But the little fox watched after Bridget because every animal in the world loved Bridget so much. And so Bridget brought the woodcutter back to his family, and everything was solved. And the king was as happy as a lark for about 2 weeks, because that is the nature of kings, isn't it? For about 2 weeks, he was madly in love with that little fox. But after 2 weeks had gone by, he started to grow restless and need novelty. That's the way. And he said, you know, men, I was thinking, maybe we should go to war. We could go to war. What do you think of that? And they all said, well, Your Honor, that is an ingenious idea. What a startling and novel idea. You're right. We should go to war. I wonder, who should we fight? That doesn't much matter. Let's go. And so they gathered all their men and all their flags and pennants and all their horses and armors and everything they needed. And off they marched. And the little fox sat on the king's throne and watched them disappear out the door and over the hill until they were no more. And then looking once to the left and once to the right, silently she treaded out of the castle and she ran and ran and ran across the green fields of Ireland until she came to Kildare, Kildara, the Church of the Oak, which belongs to Bridget. And she ran into the sacred chamber where the light never goes out. And there she found Bridget, and she leapt up into her cloak and snuggled her warm red little body against Bridget. who wrapped her up in an embrace, and the two were never parted again. Shine Mishkeel Matabreg An Biu. That's my story. If there's a lie in it, so be it.
I wish our listeners could see your face as you were the king. You embodied all of that foolish power in the most fabulous of ways.
Thank you very much. Oh, goodness. It's fun. Every time I tell a story, the king sounds like that. Doesn't matter what story it is.
Well, the king, I mean, we can just, you know, back in the day, there were times when the female was always the stock character. But let's be clear, that's also true that sometimes the king is just the stock character who comes out and throws his weight around.
Here. Yes.
Oh, Kate, thank you.
So there she is, the friend.
The friend.
My pleasure.
Yes, the friend to a sister woman, the friend to animals, the friend to anyone in need.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And I love, you know, when you and I were speaking before, that's what you most wanted to convey, that Bridget is here as a friend.
For sure. For anybody who just kind of turns to her again. And, you know, the whole question of saint or goddess, to me, that doesn't really matter at all. I mean, what we know, right, we do know that there were goddesses in the British Isles who were called, I mean, even Britain is named after a goddess who was called something like Bridget, right? So we know that we have this kind of Bridgety goddess that underlies the saint who we know about from hagiography starting in sort of the 6th century. And so we get this talk about, you know, not work. We have the weaving together of many different traditions, right? Like we have the hagiographical written tradition, and then we have the oral tradition. And those stories actually both come from both traditions, which is interesting. They're, of course, recast by different tellers. But anyway, there she is. So I'm not too fussed. I like to think that Bridget is sort of a thought form that you can trace, however your angle of entry, doesn't matter. Yeah.
And that our angle of entry always has permission to shift and change, because that's the nature of the knot itself.
Yes.
In our introduction, I mentioned that you and I first met when you were my Irish teacher 25 years ago at Boston College. But the other important piece of my relationship with Kate is that Kate was my absolutely invaluable final editor of The Sovereignty Knot. And there was a lot of the book was there, but important parts of the book weren't quite there yet when Kate got her beautiful, loving hands on it. And one of the gifts you gave to me was really remembering to go back to the hagiography, to go back to the stories of Bridget that were offering her as in her saintly robes in that particular guise, because my own journey had been so much of, you know, the rejection of the church. It was really important to my own budding feminism and my own sense of becoming from the Irish Catholic family that I grew up in. And knowing that part of my journey, and I think part of so many journeys, is that sense of, oh, right, what was it that I had to leave behind in my process of movement, perhaps from princess, you know, into the princess self and onto the queen, if we're using the metaphors from the Sovereignty Knot, but remembering that it's about looping back and getting to pull in all pieces of the tradition, of the story, of Bridget as thought form, in order to inform us throughout the journey and throughout her journey, because taking her as one or the other is really to rob her of all of that power that you so beautifully offered to us, especially envisioning her on the chariot.
I love what you say. And I'd like to say on that, if it sparks you, it belongs to you.
Yes.
We don't have to be pulling things apart and, you know, coming back to the idea of not work. It's more about weaving things together that are important to you. And that's yourself. And you're recognizing, of course, parts of yourself in stories and in the world. And so if you see a part of yourself in the saint that you like, that's yours, you know, just as much as the goddess.
Right, right.
So it all belongs to you.
Yes. And it belongs to anyone who picks up a story and says, yes, that's me. And in regard, you know, you and I speak as people with of Irish heritage and who have deep connection to being there, and, you know, hoping that my listeners maybe that the Irish and Celticness is their way in, but knowing that all of these stories are for everyone, regardless of whether you have a relationship. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. There are more important things than bloodlines. You know, there are right. other families than bloodlines.
Yes.
Sisterhoods, for sure.
That sense of Jesus and Mary being right in the beginning of your story, like no one feels like, well, you know, I'm not actually Palestinian. I have not yeah. from a tribe of Israel. I really shouldn't go and use those stories. It said no one ever.
Exactly.
You know, we've spent 2,000 years on that universality of the Christ story, of Mary's story.
Yes.
And that's an invitation for us to look at a lot of stories that way.
Yes. Here, take them all. Go through them. Seize yeah. what belongs to you. Have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, these things are Fitche Fuiche, which is I love to give you for that for your podcast. Fitche Fuiche yeah. is one of my favorite things to return to, and it literally means sewn and woven together. It means inextricable. Fitche Fuiche.
Fitche Fuiche.
You got it. Good ears, as always. Good ears. You always had those.
I was trained well.
You have the nah. Well. Anyway, just that idea that it's not the pulling apart, it's the weaving together. And it's it does, as you say, like a disservice to ourselves and to the stories to say, you know, like for instance, I would say as a sort of following your path, went off of my Catholicism and then thought that I couldn't have any of that. You know, and even I remember when people sort of started talking about angels, I thought, well, I can't have angels because I'm not in that. I'm not in the club. And now I think, well, that's ridiculous. I mean, the word angel means messenger anyway. And we all have access to messengers. We all have access to help, right? And light and support. So yeah, anyway, it's all for you, for each person.
Right. And I love that you mention angels because my mystery school teacher, where I've studied for the last 15 years in a tradition that's actually based in Peru because we weave together
wow.
the cultures. But I remember a class, you know, I've gone to class 4 times a year since forever, it feels like. We talked once about angels and she described, and she's like, well, they're thought forms, you know, and rather than, because there's sometimes too much put on, we can do it up to goddesses, we can perhaps do it to saints, we can do it to the sense of that obsession with a single form of this is what this
yes.
angel is and what they said to me. It's actually more empowering to see Bridget or whoever is your guide as a thought form that's perhaps part of that collective unconscious, that's part of the entire unseen realm that weaves around us because it helps us keep from creating one static version of, you know, this is the statue of the Virgin and this is the only way one could ever possibly envision her.
Oh, I love what you've said. You're right. And that guarding against that static kind of monolithic, very confining stuff. You know, Bridget herself, you know, there's a false etymology, which nevertheless tells us something important, right? It comes from this 9th century glossary by this guy called Cormac. And Cormac says that Bridget's name comes from Bru Saget, which he says means flaming arrow, which is beautiful because Bridget is very much associated with fire and that sense of like bullseye. However, her name actually really comes from the root Brí, which we still have in Irish, and it means life force, vitality, right? And so back to your point, Marissa, that we don't want that kind of confining, static imagery. What we really want is the life force, and that is always changing shape. And we're going to find it here in a saint story, and we're going to find it here in a goddess story, and then we're going to find it in an old lady that we meet in Dingle who is just crackling with life, right? Or you know, or a baby, or wherever we find it, you know?
Right.
And even wherever we find that sense of friendship and help.
Right. And of course, for those of our listeners, you and I know this so well, but that sense of the reason we have Bridget and any number of our other Celtic stories are the monks, the Catholic Christian monks at the time who wrote down all of these tales because oral tradition is powerful and fabulous. But the reason why the Celtic and Irish tradition specifically is as rich and as full as it is that it wasn't just reliant on the stories by the fireside when the bards were no longer, you know, making their rounds around the country. It became what was held in those vellum books and what was passed on by the scribes.
Right. Mm. So it's a collaboration. And of course, we see, you know, even in the stories themselves, for instance, in the stories of Patrick and Oisin, you know, Patrick is saying, is it okay? He goes and he's like, I really love these stories. He's in the story called Agul of Nishanora, the colloquy of the ancients. He meets Oisin, who's come back from basically the other world. And Oisin begins to tell him stories of what Ireland was like before the saints came to Ireland. And Patrick, St. Patrick, is so beguiled, he sort of falls into a whole day of just listening to stories. And then he goes off to pray and he's like, uh-oh, God, is this blasphemous? Am I doing the wrong thing? And God, can I say that again? God says, it's totally okay, but only if you write the stories down. So he says, get your scribe, who's called Brogan, which means the little badger, get Brogan to write the stories down so you can share them with everyone. Isn't that wonderful?
I love that.
I know. So it is fitchafuachit, right? Like everybody together, God's in on this. Patrick's in on this. The other world is in on this. You know, the stories are knitting everybody together.
Yes.
Super
and
cool.
And it gives us that little humanity of Patrick, because, you know, I've never felt particularly comfy with him.
Oh, no.
You know, he seems rather foreboding. And there's just a lot of...
He is. Yeah.
Well, and so many Irish children's stories, like friends would give my daughters these beautiful gifts from Ireland. And they'd have the story of St. Patrick and then the tale of like driving out the snakes and the evil pagans. And I'm like, and we're not going to read this one again, kids. Sorry. But... that moment of giving us Patrick in that moment of real humanity of like, oh no, did I enjoy myself too much? Like, God, I think I goofed up by really falling in love with a story. And then perhaps God is even more human still and says, no, that's your birthright. You need those stories. We all do.
Yes. That's the great storyteller, the infinite, right? Is saying, have the stories. Just make sure you share them.
Right. They're not to be hoarded, but to be given.
Yes. Yes.
So I want to also give proper due to the little fox and to this other story.
Yes.
And you and I hadn't talked about this, but I had no idea what stories you were going to tell today. But the fox, again, to mention my daughters, has always been their totem animal. Like on my front step, we have a fox doormat because it's just been always so important to my girls.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to share this episode with them.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So thank you for giving us that story. There's so much in it, but tell us a little bit about what really calls to you and makes that part of your repertoire as a storyteller.
Well, I love that story because I feel like it is a great story to tell to kids, because if you ever saw me tell it, I stand up like the fox and dance around and I stamp my little foxy foot and I get to drive the chariot. And so it's a very dynamic story. But I think that there's a lot there for adults as well. You know, accessing that part of yourself that is a solver, that is determined to do good, that doesn't give up, that really like is going to continue until she finds an answer and a kind answer, and also is in kinship and can call forth an answer, in fact, from the world, right? So I will say, I made up that part about the whistle. There's no whistle in the early Irish tale, of course, but I thought she does attract, she calls forth the fox. I mean, those tales, of course, when they're written down, they're like a paragraph. So in order, almost like you need to add water and then they kind of body out in order to become what they, but I believe, I mean, there's some debate about this, in fact, about in some cases, we think that the tale might have been a sort of cipher or to help you recall it. Sometimes we think that they were written down so that the brothers could read them out to each other over silent meals so that they could listen. There's all kinds of questions, but anyway, I love the idea, though, that Bridget can call forth from the world what she needs. And it's one I want to put out there for all of us, is to actually lean back into that more often. you know, I think our culture gives us a script that says you won't get what you need. And it's fruitless or it's arrogant to ask, or we have all kinds of crazy ideas. But in these stories, I mean, in both stories, Bridget looks around the world, right? She wants to help Mary. So she looks into the field and she finds a harrow and instantly puts it to use. And she calls forth a fox. So I love that idea that there is more at our disposal if we will look with those kinds of eyes, with the eyes that believe that we can solve our challenges and we can help each other.
You know, thank you for that. That's such a gift. I've been playing with this sentence again from my mystery school teacher, that the universe is conspiring on our behalf.
Love that.
And sometimes I admit I struggle with that, because sometimes I feel like, is that feel like something we say to one another to make us feel okay? But what about the starving children? What about the migrants who cannot find a home? What about all these different spaces in the world? How is the world conspiring on their behalf if Bangladesh is going to be uninhabitable due to climate change? Or, you know, put in whatever it is that's got you around the heart because you read the headlines that morning. But what if in that reframe, it allows us to have that sense of, right, the universe is conspiring on our behalf because there are solutions all around us all the time. And I'm almost envisioning like, you know, like in a video game where it's like you look at the field and there's, you know, the character in the game needs to find the magical tool that will help them. And there's like a little glow over there in the grass. And that would be where Bridget would have the power to do that without a console, without using her thumbs,
right,
to see the glitter around that harrow and say, oh, that's my solution right there.
Oh, that's a brilliant image right there. That's a brilliant
to be in
image.
Relationship.
Yeah, the glitter, training your eyes to see that way, rather than to see the lack or only to see the family in grief, right? Like you have to see the family in grief in order to solve it. So you're right. We have to look at climate change. We have to look at people. I just read that Massachusetts is aiming to end child marriage. There are children age 13 in Massachusetts who have been forced into marriage. This is Massachusetts we're talking about. There's all kinds of things that we have to look and say, this is a problem. We know that we could talk all day about that. And then we have to look, as you put it beautifully, for the glitter around the harrow, right? That gleam that says, here's something. I'm going to do my part. I love that you use that you and your teacher are using the word conspire, because that word, of course, means like to be inspirited together, right? So it's not, Bridget doesn't say, God, take care of this. Right. Bridget says, give me the eyes to see a solution and I am going to do my part. I will do my part is a powerful, and what's amazing is your part is doable by you. It is not, I'm not, say, very good at math or science. My part is not to do with math or science. My part is to do with words. My part is to do with teaching. Other people have other parts to do. The part that is yours to do in helping is actually a pleasure to you. And you have a feeling of rightness around it. Like your part is to do with inspiration and with words and with stories and with calling forth stories from other people so that they see themselves truly, right? And it's a joy to you. That's how I think you know. You're seeing the glitter around the harrow, as you put it.
Yes. And being in relationship with the creator and with the whole process of creation. Because what you really offer us too is that beautiful reframe around, you know, around prayer that I think so many people struggle with is that, you know, it often feels like a wish list for Santa, or just a sense of, can I have, and would you please save and come all these people that I love never, ever die or never, ever get sick. And that is unfulfilling for so many of us, because it's that sense of, wait, I know that I am more sophisticated than that. But how is it that then I continue to have a relationship with the divine, with something larger than myself? Maybe I'll just stop talking and stop asking, because you were speaking before about the power of asking and you know, looking for what it is we need. it's in that understanding of being in that co-creative relationship and conspiring together, because it's not, maybe that's the thing that I've always had problems with, is it isn't just the universe that's conspiring on our behalf.
It's
We're
us.
Asked to conspire too. We conspire with the universe on behalf of the collective and
that's
the individual.
That's it right there. We're not here to just passive. We're here to grow. We're here to flex our muscles and grow in power and clarity. You know, I always say, if I have one prayer, it is let me see clearly.
Yes.
Let me see and perceive clearly, right? And knock me up over the head if I need to see it more clearly. I want that clarity. That's the bullseye. That's the flaming arrow, in a way, is that clarity. But you're right. That conspiring, that co-conspirating, that is our work.
Yes. Yes.
And that's the thrill. And that's, and in that is so much magic and growth and adventure and love and deep satisfaction. I really don't think we came into this world to simply, to be afraid for one thing, or to simply passively live and exist. I think we came to grow. I think we came to develop ourselves and learn who we are. And we often learn who we are through the solving of challenges.
Yeah.
As Bridget, you know, that's Mary, that the ending of that little story where Mary says, I want to give you a reward, in a story that turns out right, you know, a happy ever ending. We always know this is a path. This story gives us a map, right? And so if that story gives us a map, it says, be a friend, do what you can, look with believing eyes at the world, do your part. And that's perfect. And you will be rewarded. And truly, you will.
Yeah.
Every
and
time.
It's a reward. Every year we get to come around the wheel of the year once again to experience and be reminded, because that's what we humans need, as that, oh, here's Imbolc, here's Candlemas, and here we keep going round and round again.
Yes. Yes. And no surprise either that really that Imbolc is all about the light coming back. It's the light returning, you know, supposedly just to bring Patrick back into this. Patrick and Bridget were friends too, of course, in these stories. And I like to think that he was sort of like always wanting to pull her braids and like, he probably had a crush on her and everything. And
is he the Gilbert Blythe of Irish Saints?
He definitely is. He's definitely. and she's the Anne Shirley. And she says famously, on my feast day, on the 1st of February, you can throw away the candlestick and half the candle. Meaning like, because the light, right, because the light is so different in Ireland that it's getting to be so light already. And so Patrick says, on my feast day, you can throw away the candlestick and all the candle because it's light by the 17th of March. So he won up to her in that story, as they do. But it is exciting that the light is coming back and the first crops are going in. And, you know, the lambs are, my folklore teacher in Ireland called it the Feast of Ewe Lactation, E-W-E. So meaning that the lambs, you know, they're about to be born and the mothers are in milk. And so his whole, and I will say this to your listeners, that this would be a really good excuse to have dairy products. if you like for Imbolc is get yourself some very nice dairy product and enjoy at least butter. Mm-hmm.
Yes. The finest cheeses and ice cream would also be permitted.
Absolutely. It would be just traditional. It's just honoring the day, really.
Yes, your lactose intolerance is going to be back here on Candlemas, but on Imbolc, you just need to roll with it and it'll be okay. It's a special dispensation.
It should be. I love that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's those, I mean, this is such a silly little thing, but you know, when I go to Ireland, I realize I can eat anything and it doesn't bother me. Part of that is the way that,
it's true though,
you know, Europe has done so many different things with the way they breed their wheat. I mean, literally breed, I think might almost be the right word for it, cultivate. But, you know, and with the way that when you're in relationship with the land and you know, your feet are so firmly grounded in, there are a lot of maybe it's even, you know, human laws and even physical laws that don't count as much just for a little while because yes. you're co-conspiring. And you're in
it doesn't hurt that you're walking out in the wind all day.
Yes.
So when you come yes. home from the pub at night and you make a big pot of black tea, really dark tea, and you have rashers and toast in the middle of the night and you still sleep mm-hmm. like a baby.
Exactly. Here, and in America, it's like no tea past 2 o'clock. Ever.
Absolutely. You'd be a quivering jelly if you did that here. But no, that you can get away with it. So there's a bit of magic about that, I think.
Oh, gosh, there it is. I want to keep talking to you for the rest of forever, but I feel like it's so wonderful to be ending on this note around Imbolc, knowing that this is the very first episode in the Not Work podcast and that we're starting here Aww. With the light and that I get to share this with this light with you. You know, you've been such an important part of my journey with
oh,
these
Marissa.
Stories. You gave them Thank to you. Me first. And it means the entire world.
Thank you so much. I'm honored.
Kate, from the depths of my heart, I thank you. And I wish you a blessed Imbolc. How would we say, give us Imbolc blessings? How would we say that in the Irish?
Well, I would probably say Banachti, which is blessings. Banachti yeah. Leiv Rige. Banachti Leiv Rige. Blessings of St. Bridget's Day.
Right. Yes. Brilliant. Thank you so much.
It was a great pleasure. Thank you too.
Thank you again for joining us for this very first episode of the Not Work podcast. You can find more about Kate at katechadbourne.com. There you'll find her CDs and her writings and more about Kate as a performer. And if you visit bardicacademy.com, you can learn more about Kate as a teacher of music and as a guide for young scholars and scholars of all ages, I would say. And we'll close today with a song of Kate's about Bridget, specifically written for this day, The Lady of the Fire. Thank you for tuning in to Not Work Myth and Storytelling. Please subscribe and review the show on your favorite podcast platform, and do share this episode with other lovers of mythology and story. By the way, everyone is a lover of mythology and story, even if they've forgotten. Creating this show is a labor of love, and your support will help me continue to craft and share stories throughout this season and beyond. Please consider becoming a paid subscriber to my newsletter, Myth is Medicine, over on Substack, where you'll find new writing and conversations each week. You can find out more about my writing, my book, our online writing communities, as well as how to work with me as a writing coach at marisagowdy.com. Gratefully, I live, write, work, and record this podcast on the ancestral lands of the Munsee Lenape tribe, whose name means original people. Music on this show is performed by Beth Sweeney and Billy Hardy.